for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Do you have three ex-wives and your current trophy wife wants a life insurance policy three times the size of the policies you had to purchase for your previous mistakes? If so, you need to call Big Lou at Term Provider, 800-230-2777. Big Lou is intimately familiar with your problems, and if you're 50 or 60 years old and in reasonably good health, a $1 million policy should only cost about $100 to $200 per month. Big Lou may have a solution for your previous policies as well. You may even save enough money to lighten the load on your new $1 million policy. Remember, call Big Lou. He's like you, except he's only on number two. Call Term Provider at 800-230-2777. That's 800-230-2777. For $1 million in term life insurance that you can live with, call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. 800-230-2777.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
This is a special report from ABC News. Americans freed from Russia. I'm Michelle Franzen. A historic prisoner swap involving a half a dozen countries in Russia today. Three Americans and an American green card holder among the 24 released, including Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gerskovich and former Marine Paul Whelan. The U.S. says both were wrongly detained and convicted of espionage. ABC's Patrick Grievel has more on Gerskovich, who was arrested in March of 2023.
Evan was well known among the journalist community in Moscow. When I worked there, I knew him, and almost everyone there knew him well. He was known as an incredibly committed and passionate journalist who believed that it was vital that people had a good understanding of Russia at this time, particularly with the war in Ukraine. Most foreign journalists left Russia after Russia invaded in 2022 because they believed it was too dangerous. But Evan believed it was important to keep going, and he kept taking those risks.
President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris will meet with the released Americans when they arrive in the U.S. This is ABC. A new rule being proposed could make it easier and cheaper for parents to book a seat and sit next to their child on an airplane.
If a family is flying, the Department of Transportation wants to ban airlines from being able to charge extra what it calls junk fees to let the children sit next to their parents. A new rule being proposed would force airlines to seat children under 13 years old next to their parents if the parents want it, without being charged extra fees to do it. And if there are not two open seats together, the airline would have to offer a full refund or rebook the family for free on the next flight. Alex Stone, ABC News.
South Korean officials offering to send aid to North Korea to help the country recover after heavy rains and severe flooding. It's unclear, though, whether North Korea will accept South Korea's offer. Tensions running high on the Korean Peninsula over the North's growing nuclear ambitions and the South's expansion of combined military exercises with the U.S. and Japan. Michelle Franz and ABC News.
Total Wireless is made to totally keep up with you. We now have unlimited data that never slows you down. Covered by the Verizon 5G network. And for less than $30 a month, we make your phone your ride or die. Switch now and pick a free 5G phone with qualified plan purchase. And your fourth line at no additional cost. Visit your local Total Wireless store today. Total Wireless, we're totally with you. Actual speeds may vary by location. For data management practices, see TotalWireless.com.
Sorry, but we actually have a wait list for our Monstera.
Shaw's greenhouse is really bringing in the green.
We can't keep snake plants in stock.
She needs a construction manager to build on her roots and grow.
We could add a whole section for ferns. Here we'd have dahlias, dahlias, and more dahlias.
Indeed can help her hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. Minnesota man convicted of killing a teen and injuring four others on western Wisconsin's Apple River in 2022 will spend 20 years in prison. St. Croix County Judge Michael Waterman sentenced 54-year-old Nikolai Mew to a total of 41 years for the stabbing death and related charges.
The sentences on all six counts will run concurrent. I am imposing a concurrent sentence because Mr. Mew's conduct toward each of his victims was part of a single continuous act over a short period of time.
Prosecutors had sought a 70-year sentence on the convictions. fatal attack took place during a confrontation between Mew and a group of people inner tubing on the river. A 19-year-old man is sentenced for a crash that killed a 13-year-old Reedsburg girl as she was about to board a school bus.
Kevin Green of Platteville tearfully apologized to the family of Evelyn Gurney in Sauk County Court Wednesday morning. Green was given 4 years probation with 3 months in jail, along with fines and community service. Green's license has also been revoked for a year. The seventh grader was killed the morning of May 12th of 2023 while she was standing in her driveway. Prosecutors say that Green had been texting and speeding leading up to the crash. Robin Colbert, Wisconsin Radio Network.
The Department of Workforce Development predicts a nurse shortage in Wisconsin will continue.
According to a DWD report, there are not enough registered nurses in Wisconsin to meet current demand, and the shortage is predicted to grow if unaddressed. Two models in the report predict a deficit of between 12,000 and 19,000 nurses by 2040. Possible approaches to addressing healthcare workforce challenges include placing extra emphasis on retaining nurses, making it possible for nurses to care for more patients, and supporting public health to reduce the number of patients. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Summer's coming in hot, so it's time to cook up some fun at Mall of America, because it's always a cool 72 and sunny here. Plus, all the summer best in one place. Join SpongeBob SquarePants' 25th anniversary celebration. Get slimed at Nickelodeon Universe. Hit new heights on the Fly with Opera ride and Boots Banana Swing. It's shopping Nirvana, Crayola Experience Creativity, Hangout Heaven. Go all in on summer, all at Mall of America. mallofamerica.com/summer.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
Partly to mostly cloudy. It's going to be muggy again today with scattered showers and thunderstorms possible. Our high 84 with wind out of the south at 5 to 15. Thunderstorms will end later this evening. Our low 67 tomorrow. Sunny 87 by Saturday. Sunshine, high of 89.
Hey, take your summer barbecue and kick it up a notch with Grandpa's Barbecue Sauce. This stuff is made from Grandpa's original recipe. It's wicked good. Grandpa's BBQ Shop.
Outside now, it's 75.
And thank you for joining us here today for AOA, Agriculture of America. Great to have you along for the conversation. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Coming up on our program here today, we got a busy one for you. We are going to preview the upcoming Midwest Agricultural Export Summit being put on by South Dakota Trade. Luke Lindberg, their president and CEO, is going to join us in segment four for a conversation. In segment three, we're going to take a look at a new white paper looking at internal combustion engines and the role they could play with reducing carbon emissions by using higher blends of various biofuels and more. Really interesting research done by the Engine Technology Forum. We'll talk with their executive director, Alan Schaefer, coming up at segment three. In segment two, we're going to look at some of the trends in the dairy industry, cheese, butter, yogurt, some of the hot products out there in the dairy market. Corey Geiger, lead dairy economist for CoBank, is going to be with us in segment two here today. Let's kick things off and talk markets. Plenty to watch there. Joining us now, Mike Zuzulo with Global Commodity Analytics. Mike, welcome back to AOA. And I want to start just here in the last 24, 48 hours. There's been plenty of geopolitical developments in the Middle East in particular that spiked crude oil on Wednesday, for instance, things like that. What are some of these developments that you're watching that could have an impact on our market?
Yeah, interesting development. You know, kind of set the table 24 hours ago before the Israelis ratcheted up and hit Iran directly, which historically would suggest that Arab nationalism will come in. And even if you're a Sunni Muslim like Saudi Arabia, in terms of country and their Muslim beliefs, which is a lot different than Iran and their Shia Muslim beliefs, they tend to circle the wagons historically. They did it in the late 60s. They did it late 60s, early 70s. They did it again in 2005, 2006. It could be a breaking point to a wider Middle East conflict. And 24 hours ago, crude oil was, I think, to me, the best example of what we had going in this whole commodity market. The idea that China's deflation and weakness was ramping up even more. And it took the grains back to a 2014 style market where all the rallies were just meant to be sold. And that's kind of where we ended. today's trade, or we're ending today's trade before some fresh news from USDA. So there is a lot to unpack. I think the best way to start it off, though, Jesse, is the idea that two major streams of thought, I think, were pushing this grain market lower. Either it was Chinese demand and the whole commodity sector was losing longs and bleeding longs, or the U.S. crop was getting so big ahead of a report, still 13 days away, the trade saw a cooler weather bias in the Western Corn Belt and said, let's get out of all of our longs that we have. Now that, to me, I'll just go on record. I choose the first one more than the second one because I've got some charts here to look at that things don't add up to me that it's all about weather.
All right, Mike. Well, let's look at this chart. And I know folks listening in can't see this, but we're looking at the Bloomberg Commodity Index. This is something that you and I have talked about quite frequently. Walk us through, what are you seeing? What doesn't add up here on the Bloomberg Grain Index?
This has been such an excellent technical indicator for us. And I'm really proud of the analysis when it comes to trying to dial in whether we've got buy or sell signals utilizing this chart. I've got some other more refined charts that I don't share publicly and only share with clients and subscribers, Jesse, but this is a really good chart from a standpoint of where we're potentially heading. And when we took out the previous 2024 lows last month on a closing basis, it set us up for a major defensive posture. And we go into the end of July now, July 31st, with fresh 3+ year lows across the board, wheat, corn, and beans. And what two things that stand out with me on this chart right now, other than the very historically oversold conditions, is the idea that wheat is still very much a player here, because this chart wouldn't be where it's at if wheat wasn't joining the corn and beans with fresh 3+ year lows. So wheat is still very much a leader and very much a key, and that wraps itself into the Middle East conflict and the shift in the crude oil and the dollar that we saw Wednesday. The second point I'll make is this has been an excellent chart for me to suggest to clients possible next support levels and percentage moves in the corn, beans, and wheat, because they have been moving so closely with one another. This is the first box that ticks the idea this is more about demand, not more about supply. Yes, supply in the United States is good, and it's getting better in, by most, and if not all, indications at this stage. But it's the demand that keeps being looked at and being looked at from a standpoint of it's still dropping. And that's why prices can't find lows. So the next big support, this is trading about 31.47 on the index as you and I talk. The next big support is right around 30 to 30.4. So percentage-wise, it could still drop another 4 or 5%, 3, 4, 5% if it wanted to. And so that's the really nice thing about this chart, is it's been a good gauge of upside, downside potential in percentage term for the grains.
Well, Mike, another chart here as well. It's a correlation between the Bloomberg Index and the Hang Seng Index from China. What are you seeing here? Walk us through this correlation real quick.
The key with this chart is we just looked at the Bloomberg Grain Commodity Index and that new 3.5 year low in the index matching up with beans, corn, and wheat. Now let's see how much relationship sensitivity, whether it's positive or negative, it has with Hong Kong. And as you say, that Hang Seng Equity Index, knowing that we've had bad reports in a row this week with China. Today or last night, we got the PMIs, the official PMIs from China. The manufacturing number was a third straight decline in a row each month. And this month of July was well below 50, which is kind of the zero number. The non-manufacturing PMI for China was 50.2. That was down versus June. Retail, capital markets, property, all lower in July versus June. So that turned the Hong Kong market for the month down and made it go through key support levels on a monthly basis. Does that have anything to do with the grain commodity index we just looked at? This chart says yes, very much so. And it has ever since March, April, when the two were running almost 100% opposite one another on an 8-week basis. Then they ran almost 100% positive with one another. Now they've fallen back to about 60% positive with one another, but still a very strong positive relationship between that grain commodity index and the Hong Kong market. And until I see this go negative, I'm going to suggest to everybody out there, this is as much about demand in China, deflation, U.S. trade relationship with China, as it is about the U.S. supply getting bigger.
Well, Mike, good stuff as always. I know folks can get a look at your analysis and a free trial and more online, globalcomresearch.com. That's globalcom with two M, C-O-M-M, research.com. With that, Mike Zuzalo, Global Commodity Analytics. As always, thanks for joining us here on AOA. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Jesse. Take care.
Also, you can take a more in-depth look at some of this commentary that Mike and I were just talking about with the markets. So we explore it on this past Wednesday's episode of the Market Talk podcast. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg for more information. All right, coming up next, we're going to turn our attention to the dairy sector. We'll talk with Corey Geiger from CoBank on the way next here on AOA.
I'm Reba McEntire. In life, you'll hear a lot of people tell you that you can do anything you want. I'm here to tell you that's true. Since I was a little girl, I dreamed of becoming a successful singer and entertainer. It took a lot of hard work, dedication, and perseverance to find my success, but it was worth it. I never gave up on my dreams. Remember, you can never have a dream come true until you've had a dream. This message is brought to you by the U.S. Air Force.
A careless driver can change your life in an instant. Do you know what to do or who to call? If you've been injured in a motor vehicle accident and don't have an attorney, call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free consultation. We can answer all of your questions and estimate the potential value of your case. Call Auto Accident Help Desk and connect with an expert personal injury attorney.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Don't worry how to handle your medical bills, lost wages, and pain. We will get you the money you deserve.
They got me way more than the insurance company offered.
The consultation is free, and you don't pay any legal fees unless we win or settle your case. Make the smart call if you've been injured in an auto accident. Call Auto Accident Help Desk for a free legal consultation.
Call 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344. 800-880-1344.
Auto Accident Help Desk.
80 million listeners depend on AM radio to always be on, delivering news, sports, talk, traffic, and weather reports you can trust. AM radio also delivers vital emergency information when you need it most. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to pass the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act to keep AM radio in cars.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National...
Got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2024 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from 4 geographical divisions with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wissoybean.org.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Well, joining us now, we have a new report out from CoBank looking at some of the latest trends in the dairy industry, cheese, butter, yogurt, milk, etc. A lot of new data to take a look at. And joining us now to run through what we're seeing here in this latest report from CoBank's Knowledge Exchange, we're happy to have him back with us, lead dairy economist with CoBank. Corey Geiger is with us here today on the program. Corey, thanks for joining us. It's good to talk with you again. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well. Glad to be here, Jesse.
Well, give us, just for starters, the overall summary with this latest report, looking at the dairy trends that we've been keeping an eye on throughout the dairy markets, et cetera, et cetera. What was kind of the overarching takeaway, at least, to start our conversation today, Corey?
Well, the big thing here is dairy product consumption has been growing, and we were looking, my teammates and I were looking at what could be some of the bigger growth categories moving forward, and that's really what we delved into on dairy. But for the audience here, I think the biggest picture here, where is dairy at right now? If you look at Circana sales data, which is the retail sales data, dairy is the largest category in the grocery store. So over the past 52 weeks, there's been $76 billion of dairy product sales, and that's the largest category in the store, and it's even higher than liquor, which liquor would include beer, wine, and spirits. Now, one of the takeaways from this report, some of the dairy product consumption is going to look a little bit different than we've grown accustomed to.
Well, as we dive a little more into the report, were there any segments of the dairy industry where there was maybe more upside potential? What did you guys find?
Mm-hmm. One of the biggest categories, and it started to grow at the onset of the pandemic for obvious reasons when we get into it. However, snacking cheese is going to continue to grow. There's a report, some deep market analysis from Fact MR reports that shows that snacking cheese globally is going to grow at six sales of it. They're going to grow at 6.5% a year through 2034. Now, snacking cheese is cheese paired with something else. It could be cranberries, could be almonds, could be walnuts, could be a meat, but delivering protein and good nutrition and of all taste in what consumers really want, convenience. In this snacking cheese category, about 24% of the global sales are in the U.S. The rest is worldwide. And in U.S. dairy product export markets, so where U.S. is the world's third largest dairy product exporter, new product introductions of snacking cheese have grown 152%. So this goes beyond the U.S.
Wow. Wow. What about, let's talk butter for a minute here. I mean, I'm a butter fan myself. My mom, you know, always said everything tastes better in butter, that kind of thing. I mean, not to make jokes, but looking at the butter segment of the dairy market, how are things looking there currently?
The short answer, Jesse, we can't make enough of it in the United States. Now, butter was bad when you and I were children, and it was because there was a war on saturated fats. And saturated fats are found in egg yolks. They're found in animal meats. They're found in dairy as well. But the scientific evidence is the tide has turned. Finding out saturated fats are actually good for you in the human diet, that there might be some other players nutritionally when it comes to cardiovascular disease that are being investigated. But saturated fats, even though the dietary guidelines for Americans aren't denoting it yet, the evidence is coming in and consumers are buying butter. Now, when I said we're not making enough of it, butter product imports to this country from 2010 to 2023 have grown over 1,000%. A lot of it's higher in the U.S. A lot of the butter of the product has 80% butter fat, and some of the European styles have 83%, so even more flavor. And there are some U.S. manufacturers starting to reformulate and make those kind of butter spreads. And the other thing why we're saying we can't make enough of it, butter fat content in the milk coming from America's dairy farms is at a record high. 3 years new records in a row, and this is data going back to 1924. So we're importing butter because American consumers are demanding more. And when you look at dairy product exports, there's two scales, one with the butter fat in on a milk fat basis and one with the butter fat taken out. Based on milk fat basis, we're exporting about 5% of their milk production. On a skim solids basis, skimming the butter fat off, we're at 22%. So a lot of signs that says, Jesse, you and I are, and all our fellow consumers are demanding more butter.
Well, fascinating things to think about there. We're talking with Corey Geiger, lead dairy economist with CoBank. I know you guys highlighted yogurt in this report as well. And I think about yogurt here, Corey, how, you know, it always was traditionally something you had for breakfast. But now, I mean, a lot of times I see folks grabbing and going with yogurt in the afternoon, in the evening, things like that. I mean, what are some of the trends that are changing in terms of yogurt right now?
You've nailed it, Jesse. Yogurt has moved beyond breakfast. I mean, yogurt was a traditional breakfast food, but it's very convenient, easy to use. You can put it into bars, snack bars, and other things too. It even can go into ice cream. So there's just a lot of different areas that can go in. One big transformation in yogurt that people are very familiar with is Greek yogurt. And for many years, dairy processors that were making yogurt in the United States always thought Americans needed sugar and everything. Greek yogurt is really fermented, and even the lactose is taken out of the milk here. So you have a natural sugar-free option. Chobani was the new trendsetter in that category, and a lot of others have, you know, reformulated, and Greek yogurt is the number one category. Despite all that growth in Greek yogurt, there's so much more upside, and it is the grab-and-go convenient part of it that's going to continue to grow along with Greek yogurt.
Well, I know folks can take a look at this full report on the CoBank website under the Knowledge Exchange tab. You just got to go to CoBank.com and look for Knowledge Exchange, and you'll find more dairy products have more growth potential is the name of the article. Corey, kind of broadly here as we wrap this up and we think about some of these segments of the dairy industry, and I'll rope milk in here as well. I mean, what's your perspective on the overall health outlook of the dairy markets right now as we work through the summer months and into the second half of this year?
There's a lot of unique things happening right now in the dairy world. Number one, we've talked about already, butterfat and protein content in the nation's milk supply is at record highs. So we've had 12 months in a row where milk production has been down month over month. But the thing I keep stressing is the components in the milk, largely butterfat and protein, have been up about a 1%. So we're sending more nutrient-dense milk to manufacturers. And when they're making cheese and yogurt and butter, that's the important thing. Now, if you're making beverage milk, that's a little bit different story. But most of the dairy products are, you know, processed in a nutrient-dense version. So that's one story. The other thing here, beef prices are at an all-time high. And about 20%, 22% of the U.S. beef supply comes from dairy in some way, shape, or form. That could be a cow. It could be her calf that's raised into a steer. And two things have happened. Beef on dairy, beef semen on a dairy cow. We have about 3 to 3.25 million animals running around that came from a dairy cow, but a beef sire. And that's in a dairy herd with 9 million cows. And it's happening because cattle inventory is at the lowest level since 1951, and U.S. population has more than doubled since that point. How's that impacted milk production? Dairy replacements, heifers to come into the milk herd, are at a 20-year low, and we see no change of that in the next 3 years. It's just biological. It takes 9 months for a calf to be born, and then 2 years to raise her, and so that's an ocean liner we got to try to turn.
Great insight into what's happening in the dairy markets right now. And again, that new report looking at some of those dairy market trends. CoBank.com under the Knowledge Exchange tab. With that, lead dairy economist with CoBank, Corey Geiger. Corey, thanks for joining us here on the program today. Always a pleasure. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, Jesse.
All right, coming up next here on AOA, as we continue our program, we're going to have a conversation with Alan Schaefer, the executive director at the Engine Technology Forum. They have a brand new white paper out titled Powering On: Internal Combustion Engines and the Clean Energy Future. looking at a lot of different aspects here as we look to reduce our carbon emissions and more, and how internal combustion engines can play a role. So we're going to talk about that new white paper and new report out from the Engine Technology Forum. We'll do that on the way after this here on AOA Agriculture of America.
Sometimes life is wonderful, and sometimes it's not. Cherish the good, but always be prepared for life's challenges. At Private Healthcare, we provide the peace of mind you deserve. With Private Healthcare, you'll get the coverage you want and healthcare you need. If your employer doesn't supply healthcare coverage and you don't qualify for Medicare or Medicaid, you need to give us a call right now. Private Healthcare is private health insurance for ages 65 and under with medical, dental, vision, and even prescription coverage. When life comes at you unexpectedly, you need to be ready, and health insurance is your financial safety net. If you're looking for health coverage at the best price and your annual household income is $35,000 or more, give us a call at 800-760-9937. That's 800-760-9937. 800-760-9937.
Stay clean and dry while doing chores around the farm with waterproof gear from UtterTech. From waterproof bibbed overalls, aprons, pouches, jackets, and more, UtterTech has the workwear to keep you clean, dry, and working efficiently on the farm. Just machine wash and dry, and your UtterTech workwear is ready to go for the next day. UtterTech has products for veterinarians, poultry, swine, goat farmers, and even kids, too. See all the UtterTech products designed to help you on the farm at UtterTechInc.com.
Milk markets were lower. Reporting from the Buffalo County Fair, I'm Brian Winnikins with this market update on WRDN. September milk down 21 to 2104, October down 1 to 2111, November down 11 to 2053, December milk down 20 at 1965. Live cattle markets had triple-digit losses on the day. A big sell-off in the markets after lower box beef prices and cash really not being established. The trade went overboard. Everybody headed for the exits. Meanwhile, hog markets moved mostly higher, some higher pork cutout values, and also that strength in the cash market from earlier in the week supporting prices. August live cattle down 232 to 184.80. August feeder cattle down 410 to 253.15. August hogs up 87 cents to 93.15. Chicago Board of Trade, corn and soybeans were mostly lower on the day. Again, some moderating weather for the corn and soybean belt, especially next week, pressuring the markets. A lot of positioning ahead of the August 12th crop report as well, with some of the reporting changes coming from USDA. Also, wheat markets were mostly higher on the day. Again, some global weather concerns helping to pressure the markets, along with some potential rain harvest delays as well. December corn down 1.25 to 398.5. November beans down 6 to 1016.5. September wheat in Chicago up 4.75 to 532. Minneapolis wheat September up 7. From the Buffalo County Fair, I'm Brian Winnikins.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit wicorn.org and become a member today.
Just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel, if you're not into the whole added power thing. Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Keeping America's farmers and ranchers informed. AOA. Now back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Joining us now for a conversation, it's been a few weeks since we've had the opportunity to talk with Alan Schaefer, Executive Director for the Engine Technology Forum. Alan, welcome back to the show. How are you, sir?
Great to be back with you, Jesse. Doing well, thanks.
Great to talk with you again. Also, we have some interesting new research, a new white paper out from ETF for us to talk about here today. And I think this picks up well on our last conversation. We were talking a lot about reducing carbon emissions, and there's been a lot of push, of course, for electrification to reduce some of those carbon emissions and more. But I know the Engine Technology Forum, you guys making the case that there are a lot of opportunities out there for low carbon fuel systems, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of things that the internal combustion engine can still do to achieve some of this reduction in carbon emissions. So give us the highlight of this new white paper just to start our conversation, Alan.
Absolutely. And thanks again for having us. And, you know, in today's discussion, we're hearing a lot about sustainability and achieving net zero emissions and reducing carbon. And often in that same phrase, we're also hearing about the need to electrify different segments of the economy, whether that's agricultural equipment or construction vehicles or tractor trailers that run on the highways. So we really hear a pretty loud voice out there actually for zero emission technology and a lot of things that aren't fully available or not available at all yet today. And so we wanted to take a look and say, okay, what about internal combustion engines? What are they doing to be relevant in the future? And what are they doing today? And so that's what we've done here. It takes a long, hard look at where we are today with internal combustion engines and where they're headed for the future. And we see a future that this technology, and we're talking about gasoline, diesel, natural gas, propane engines, gaseous fueled, as well as liquid fuels, continuing to thrive and actually to dominate most sectors of the economy for decades to come for three reasons. The first is it's everywhere today, and we have a near sole reliance on internal combustion engines in the ag sector and the construction and commercial transportation, highway vehicle sector. And for many applications, there's no suitable alternative. And so that suggests, at least for some period of time, these engines are not going anywhere. The second reason it's going to continue to thrive is it's getting better. And we've got continuous improvement in efficiency and lower emissions. And we're going to be using a lot more lower carbon and new kinds of fuels in these technologies, engines. And that's going to enable them to compete with the alternatives. And then the third and final reason we see is why internal combustion engines are going to be around in the future, really due to delays and uncertainties in the development of new technologies. And so we know that there's a growing number of like electric vehicle charging stations, but still woefully short on that for passenger vehicles. That's not even exploring at all what it would take to electrify some of these other sectors. So the delays and the uncertainties with this energy shift are quite large, and I'm sure they're probably larger than we can even envision at this point. So until we get to some point like that in the future, we're going to continue to need internal combustion engines, and particularly using renewable, advanced renewable biofuels.
Well, and I know the paper really takes a hard look at some of that critical technology in regards to renewable bio-based fuels, Alan. It's something that it's a side of the industry that is continuing to evolve. We're hearing more about it, and largely, it's my understanding that it appears the next few years ahead, there is going to be quite a bit of surge in renewable bio-based fuels production here domestically, and I'm sure internationally as well. Talk about that a little bit more for us.
Yeah, we really think that there absolutely has to be, if we have any chance at all in meeting any of our climate goals that have been set out by the government. And the main reason for that is that we can use these fuels and technologies without any change to the vehicles or any change to the fueling infrastructure. So three and a half billion gallons of renewable bio-based diesel fuels we've been using last year, we need to really see that number double in the next, 5 to 10 years at least, if we're going to have a hope of really trying to put a dent in some of the carbon emissions. And I think that is an increasingly important topic, which is time. And every every ton of carbon emissions that we keep out of the air today is important for the progress that we'll need to make in the future. So when we start using even low blends of biofuels, 5% biodiesel or 10, 20% or more can make a vast difference right now, even when they're used across, you know, a wide variety of vehicles and equipment. Those numbers multiply pretty quickly. So it's not like we're going to wait until we have, you know, full-scale electrification of some of these sectors to start making progress on carbon. We need to start today. And so these fuels offer us a great way to leverage all that we have developed and continue to develop for internal combustion engines and just switch out the fuel. And the issue really with internal combustion engines isn't the engine itself. It's the fuel that's used. So if we switch to lower carbon and new kinds of fuels like hydrogen for internal combustion engines, we can see tremendous progress ahead.
We are talking with Alan Schaefer, Executive Director for the Engine Technology Forum. They got a new white paper out that's exploring the economic impacts and market penetration and more for the internal combustion engine as we try to reduce our carbon emissions. And I know that's available on the Forum's websites, and we'll talk more about that in a second, but it's at enginetechforum.org. Alan, I think about this as well, and we've talked in the past, you know, a lot of the talk about going to electrification, so to speak. I think about this, though. Say you're lining up at a semi truck in New York City and driving to Los Angeles with an EV semi. I have to think that some of the logistical challenges, power challenges, things like that, to me, from everything I've read and tried to understand, it would take a lot longer to make that journey versus using a truck with an internal combustion engine. So to your points, it seems critically important to look at a lot of these low-carbon renewable fuels like renewable diesel, natural gas, biodiesel, hydrogen. There's so many opportunities out there beyond electrification, right?
Indeed. And the scenario that you talked about there from New York to LA today is not possible for a commercial truck looking to recharge at a medium or heavy duty suitable charging facility. Of course, there's tremendous investment that's being put in place by government, as well as private industry and fleets themselves, and some of the grid operators are starting to step up and fund some of this for the newer network, to establish a new network for fueling of the heavy duty trucks. But we are a very long ways from getting that done. And, you know, when we think about, you know, what needs to happen now, it's just the vast number of internal combustion engines out there can use these renewable fuels today. And, you know, we're looking at, you know, combined growth rates for this technology in the marketplace continuing to grow as much as 9% a year between now and 2030, which is one of the findings of this paper. So we're still adding a lot of internal combustion engines to meet the demands of our economy. And that includes, you know, in the ag sector, where I guess it was about 3.3 million pieces of ag equipment were sold worldwide in 2021 or so. And of course, the overwhelming majority of that was powered by internal combustion engines, most all of them running diesel. So, that's the size and scale of the situation that we have. So it's going to take quite a while to start to see any kind of meaningful change.
Well, and we haven't even touched on any of the policy-related issues with all of these changes as well, Alan. Maybe some notes there real quick, but obviously to a lot of the things you talked about, there's a lot of policy and regulatory type of things, a lot of hurdles that would have to be cleared as well as we move forward, right?
Absolutely. And, not the least of those is really getting a renewable fuels policy in the U.S. that is respectful and appreciative of the growth opportunity that these fuels present and what they can mean to decarbonizing these many sectors in the near term. And I think we've talked even before about this disappointment with the administration's approach on renewable fuels. And of course, just a few weeks ago, they announced that they were not going to make their renewable volume obligations that we had expected this year in November until 2025. So kicking the can down the road after the election, so to speak. So I think that's a matter of frustration for all of us involved in this industry, because you know, we know the opportunity that's there to decarbonize and do it quickly, do it fairly easily and fairly cheaply, particularly for comparing it to things like electrification. So that policy is if I had to, you know, put my finger on the number one concern we would have today about meeting our climate obligations, that would be number one, because it helps us in the near term. And a lot of people would say, well, we need to just put as much charging infrastructure in place as fast as possible. And what we've seen from that experience is that the utilities and the grid is not ready for that. They might be ready, but we're talking decades down the road. But in the meantime, we have these renewable fuels that offer tremendous opportunity.
A lot of things to consider. And Alan, I'm sure folks want to take a look at the white paper and more information. EngineTechForum.org is a great place to start, isn't it?
That's it. And there's plenty there and more. It's a big paper. It's very deeply sourced, so you can learn a lot in a little bit of time about this industry, the infrastructure, some of the resource demands, and sort of where we're headed.
EngineTechForum.org. With that, he is the Executive Director for the Engine Technology Forum, Alan Schaefer. Alan, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Always appreciate it.
Thanks, Jesse. Have a great day.
And we'll be back with more on AOA right after this.
This is an announcement to all United States vehicle owners who own a 2003 or newer vehicle with a manufacturer's warranty about to expire, or no warranty coverage at all. With a struggling economy and the cost of living on the rise, Endurance is now offering an affordable, low-cost vehicle coverage plan to the general public. As of today, you could be one of millions of drivers that now may qualify to have your vehicle protected under this coverage and have all future covered auto repairs paid directly to the repair shop for you. You pick your plan. You pick your deductible. You even pick the repair shop. Roadside service, towing, and rental coverage is included. Get your vehicle protected now and save your wallet from costly vehicle repairs. A toll-free number has been established for you to call for your free 5-minute quote and to see if you qualify. The number to call is 800-299-1058. 800-299-1058. Again, that's 800-299-1058. Coverage, deductibles, and claims may vary. For details, go to endurancewarranty.com.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FACE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FACE. Enjoy.
To learn more.
Every Tuesday, we're sitting around the table, sponsored by CHS, where we'll be talking with folks from throughout the cooperative system. Join us as we discover what makes cooperatives unique when there are more options to do business than ever before. We'll learn how farmers and ranchers like you benefit from a system where decisions are made by the members that own it. Tune in every Tuesday for Around the Table, or visit cooperativeownership.com to learn more. Join us the first Wednesday of every month on AOA for the latest episode of The Monthly Grind with our friends at the National Corn Growers Association. We'll discuss the latest topics surrounding the corn industry, the relationships between corn and other parts of the agricultural supply chain, the newest initiatives and partnerships from NCGA's Market Development Action Team, and much more. That's the first Wednesday of every month for The Monthly Grind on AOA. It's a show you don't want to miss.
We've been fighting the war on drugs for a long time. We answer the phone 24/7, 365 days a year. On a busy night, we answer hundreds of calls. This war on drugs needs our intervention.
Since 2014, Addiction Hope and Helpline has helped people struggling with drugs and alcohol.
When the phone rings, we help people when they need it the most. When we get a caller into treatment, it feels good. It's a blessing.
If you're struggling, drinking, using, and need to get clean, don't suffer alone in silence. Call Addiction Hope and Helpline.
Our people understand, and many are also in recovery. Call for support and strength. You can call for someone who can't or isn't willing. It's an act of love. Together we can help you beat this thing and erase addiction from your vocabulary once and for all.
Call 800-320-1993. That's 800-320-1993. 800-320-1993.
Young farmers don't listen to the radio, right? Wrong. In a recent survey, 74% of young producers said they get their most important agricultural information from their trusted farm radio station. Surprised? Don't be. If you think about it, it makes perfect sense. Radio is the perfect companion because it goes with you everywhere. Whether you're in the shop, on the combine, or in the truck, Farm Radio is right there with you. This message brought to you by the National Association of Farm Broadcasting.
Trains are everywhere. You should always expect one, even on private property. Only cross tracks at designated crossings that fit your equipment. If you don't fit, don't commit. Whatever you're operating, secure your load, raise your equipment, and avoid getting stuck or causing damage. Minimize distractions. Remember, noisy equipment drowns out the sound of a train. Unless you're crossing, always keep a safe distance from train tracks. Look, listen, live. For more info, go to oli.org.
Information America's farmers and ranchers need. AOA. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to AOA, Agriculture of America. Joining us now as we get a preview of the 2024 Midwest Agricultural Export Summit. It is coming up August 14th in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Joining us now to give us a rundown, he is the president and CEO of South Dakota Trade. Luke Lindberg is back with us here on AOA. Luke, it's good to talk with you again. How are you, sir?
Jesse, thanks for having me back on. Always a pleasure to be with you.
Hey, I know you have been busy putting together this lineup of speakers and topics for the upcoming Midwest Ag Export Summit. This is the fourth annual event, and I know just a little history on the event here, Luke. Over the last several years now, you guys have really worked to put together a robust program to talk about the Midwest ag economy and exports and more. It's been a treat to kind of watch this grow over the last few years, Luke.
Well, thank you, sir. We certainly appreciate it. It's been a labor of love. We love doing it. It shows the importance and the need for collaborating among regions. We always say kind of ag is not necessarily partisan, but more regional. And so the goal of the summit has always been and will always be to focus on how the Midwest can work together to promote our ag exports overseas. And so it's a great opportunity for seven states to come together and discuss exactly those issues.
Definitely. And I know that thinking about discussing all these issues, I mean, you have a who's who list of confirmed speakers for the 2024 summit. Talk about that for us a little bit and give folks a kind of a preview of some of the folks who are going to be there and speaking during the event this year.
We've always had a great investment from a number of members of Congress. We're excited this year to have Congressman Brad Finstad and Congressman Tracy Mann coming into town. They're both first-time speakers at the summit. On the House Ag Committee, we know folks are focused on the Farm Bill right now. So looking forward to an update from those two gentlemen. But we're also really excited this year that Ambassador Doug McCallop, who is the chief ag negotiator for the White House and the U.S. Trade Representative, is coming out to speak and share his vision for what American agricultural exports needs to look like. And then to top it off, we have a first-time attendee and former USDA Secretary Dan Glickman is coming out as well, and he's going to share some of his historical knowledge and how kind of America leadership role in the world helps us to feed the world, how our farmers play an important role in doing that. And so it'll be, I think, a really good, robust discussion. And one other person I might highlight is Baron Seeger, who runs World Food Program USA, our investment in the World Food Program. He's coming out as a first-time attendee as well, and is going to talk a little bit about the global hunger crisis and how our region can play a role in helping solve that. So it's a really good strategic look at a variety of ways we're going to be investing in those foreign relationships and making sure that, you know, our farmers have good markets to sell into.
And I know with this all-day event, folks can find more details, SouthDakotaTrade.com. And I know too, Luke, on the list of confirmed attendees, a lot of folks, various commissioners of agriculture from different states in the upper Midwest region, a lot of CEOs and leaders of various trade promotion groups. You know, I think about National Milk Producers Federation, as well as the U.S. Grains Council, things like that. So there is even a longer list of folks who are going to be in attendance here. And it's really a great gathering of very, very influential and smart minds when it comes to agriculture, I would say.
We are really fortunate. Yeah, we do have the heads of the U.S. Meat Export Federation, the U.S. Dairy Export Council, U.S. Soybean Export Council, all coming out. My good friend, Ambassador Greg Dowd, who now leads the National Milk Producers Federation, also coming. So a lot of those collaborator partners that we work with every day to make sure that those robust foreign markets exist, they've all stepped up and are we're pleased to have them as partners this year, and they're bringing their CEOs. And then we're also going to focus the panel on the U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement. Each year we try to highlight one market opportunity for our producers. And this year it's USMCA focused. So we've got the Consul General of Canada coming into town for the discussion, as well as the Deputy Consul General from Mexico to look at how we can continue to build upon those already existing and great relationships in both those markets as our top export partners.
Well, and I would say as well, I think this event this year, very timely, of course, and some of those conversations just with the state of the ag economy. I know there's some concern amongst farm and ranch country, Luke, and I'm sure you've heard some of the same as well. So now, more than ever, I would say there is an importance to make sure we have robust and new export partners and markets for U.S. commodities here. Obviously, domestically is one thing, but having a lot of great trade relationships is going to be so key to weather a down cycle in the ag economy, so to speak.
It is so crucial. We always talk about every person who has a business out there understands they want a diversity of buyers. Nobody wants to be in a situation where they're caught with just one seller. And look, it's a magical time for American agriculture in a lot of senses. We're innovating like never before. I think about soybeans as an example. You know, biodiesel production is going up dramatically, and we want to continue to feed that energy dominance that the Midwest is creating. But then we got to figure out what to do with the meal, right? We have a glut of meal coming online, and so we got to think about things. We'll never be able to consume all that meal domestically, so the opportunity exists to create new meal markets overseas. And that's just one example of many where it really works together as we innovate and create new opportunities. And then we need to have the rest of the world as those foreign buyers to diversify, build resiliency, and create opportunity for the new ag economy that's being created right here in South Dakota in our region. And so we're happy to be playing a small role in that.
Absolutely. And again, folks can learn more about the 2024 Midwest Agricultural Export Summit and all the great work that South Dakota Trade is doing as well every day. SouthDakotaTrade.com. With that, President and CEO of South Dakota Trade, Luke Lindberg. Luke, thanks for joining us on AOA today. Appreciate the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
I'm good, Jesse. Thank you so much.
All right, that's going to wrap it up for AOA here today. Coming up on our next program, we'll talk with Mariah Scott, the CEO of Rantizo, a member of the American Spray Drone Coalition, and we'll talk with Tara Durbin, Farm Credit Mid-America's Chief Lending Officer for Agriculture. I'm Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening. Have a great rest of your day. When news happens in agriculture, or when the markets are moving, we've got you covered as your trusted voice in agriculture. The team at the American Ag Network has the knowledge and experience to keep you informed on the issues impacting farmers and ranchers. We've got you covered on air, online, and on demand. Find the American Ag Network on your favorite social media platforms, and also follow the American Ag Today podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are the American Ag Network.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
Get the latest bonus interviews, exclusive content, and more with the American Ag Today podcast. Just search for American Ag Today and give us a follow wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't escape a traffic jam. Know what else you can't escape? Seasonal allergies. And you might...
The American cowboy is everything that makes this country great.
There's a freedom to being a cowboy.
Being a cowgirl is not a safe, easy path, but it's one that's very rewarding.
The American cowgirl is dedicated to her livestock. She's dedicated to her country, and she's dedicated to her family.
The American cowboy is honest.
We're the backbone of how this country was founded.
There's a whole lot of legacy that goes